Hello and welcome to How Seats Presents, your live look at entertainment here. I'm Bryce, your host. Happy Monday to everybody. Woo! And we actually have a very lively audience out there.
Look,
we do. Look at these crazy folks out here. We have Lindsay and Jesse and Lisa. Oh, settle down. You act like they've been here before or something. We have our friend Kelly Wright on today, on the show today, and we are furthering our talks about Jubilee. Last week, we had talked to your friend Tina Walsh. Tina, and we really wanted to get the scope of what Jubilee really meant for Vegas, mm-hmm. and sort of dive in deeper on Jubilee and on all things Dawn Arden, all things Fluff, all things Showgirl. Mm-hmm. And so we wanted to talk to you. And you also have a long history with House Seats people as well.
I do.
She has a very, very close relationship with Andrew Wright in our office, mm-hmm. who runs our House Seats Presents arm, as well as Eiler.
Yes.
And I find the most fascinating thing about your relationship with Eiler is that you were the chaperone to his craziness.
And he was amazing. That was one of my favorite shows.
We'll be talking about Super Summer Theater. We'll talk all things Kelly. At the beginning of the show, we always kind of do a weekend roundup. Mm-hmm. What did you do over the week? And I include your last week brouhahas with the Jubilee cast where you partied all around the city.
Yeah, that was amazing. Uh-huh. It was, like I was saying, I didn't even know who was there. Mm-hmm. Tina, I never even saw that night. So there were so many hundreds of people there. People came from England, from all over the place, from China. Friends had come just to come and be there the last night.
Well, she said it was sort of like speed dating last week.
I know. You go, oh my God, hi.
Yeah, because you didn't really know that person was here, there, and you had to like turn your head, hi.
And
hi,
then
hi,
there
hi.
Were people that we saw, that I saw, that that my friend Cindy Lee said, you remember so-and-so? I'm like, mm-hmm. yes, I didn't recognize, you know what I mean? Because it's been so many years, you know, people look different. So.
Well, sort of like a high school reunion.
Exactly.
Because the show ran for 34 years.
Yes.
And one of the most interesting facts that we learned last week on the show was... Tina, you know, we sort of did a quiz, what was the longest running show ever? Mm-hmm. And we looked it up. We had to look up what was the longest running Broadway show, which right now is Phantom.
Okay.
Which she's in.
She's in, yeah.
And the second was Chicago. And then the third was Cats. But did you know Jubilee was the longest running show at 34 years ever?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we, you know,
That's amazing.
She was in the two longest running shows. So we had this whole epiphany at the end of the show that
it was her.
That Jubilee had. Yeah. That Jubilee had that much staying power in Vegas, mm-hmm. and what Jubilee and the show represented of Vegas.
I know. It was the ultimate showgirl show. You know, I mean, you had the Ziegfeld Follies going way back, you know, to the 30s, 20s, 30s, 40s, and everything.
Right.
And then, of course, the Lido and the Moulin Rouge in Paris and everything. And a lot of those girls had come from there, you know, the Bluebell girls, that Miss Bluebell. And it was just such a beautiful show. And it's such a shame that they changed it few years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the trouble,
you
know. And they had changed it over the years. Even when I had come back into town and seen it again, there were things that were different. But it was still beautiful. And the music was still there, you know. So that was the hardest thing, seeing it a couple years ago. I saw it when they first changed it.
So the party... Let me talk to you about this partying aspect. Where did you guys have like a Jubilee flag you walked around the town?
No,
when you see those groups of people out there with the flag
it
that says follow
tallest,
me to this place.
Tallest get together in the history of the world. I tell you what, we were standing at the back. I mean, people got met first at the Paris for dinner, you know, small groups, and you would see people and go, they've got to be in Jubilee. They're like, because not everybody knows everybody, obviously, over that many years. And then we all gathered in front and
ran
into
picture?
People, did pictures, different pictures. I mean, I wish I'd taken more with some people.
Right.
Then the show started about 30 minutes late, 35 minutes
right,
late.
Of course.
And they did a whole memorial to Fluff, which was beautiful.
Yes.
A 5 minute that. And then the show started. And it must have been amazing for the people on stage because it was the most appreciative audience ever.
Right.
You know, just screaming at everything. So it was a lot of tears and it was amazing. And a lot of surprise for people who hadn't seen the changes or hadn't seen it since they'd been in it.
Gotcha.
Since the 80s. So that was kind of disappointing to some people, I think, but they still loved, you know, I mean, the costumes are still there and the beautiful girls and everything. But it was funny because during, at the party afterwards, we were in one of the ballrooms at Paris and some people came in from outside and they said, what's this convention? You know, wondering what the convention was. You know,
exactly. The tall, fabulous
That's
convention.
That's what they said. That's what we said. Well, so not a convention. It's kind of a reunion party after because Jubilee just closed. They say, and they were like, oh my God, we've never seen so many tall people in one place.
Yeah, right.
Because there were women who were 6 foot one in flat, with flat, you know, no shoes on. So everybody, it was kind of cool.
And the years that you were in the show, you were in Jubilee right after it first opened.
The year after.
The year after.
I came in, yes.
Yeah.
So I came in then.
When at the old MGM, which was the MGM. Which is where Bally sits today.
Yes, yeah. And so it was the original show. You know, I still have the music, which is really neat. I've got still the vocal parts and everything.
You know, one of the conversations we were having last week mm-hmm. was, you know, Tina and I were talking about the Liberace Museum and the mm-hmm. even though it's closed now, and then the Mob Museum, how important certain artifacts to Vegas are. And what we were saying would be the costuming,
oh, yeah.
the sheet music, pictures. We can show a few pictures here of Kelly in the show. All the guests that you guys had come to the
yes.
show, not only
come backstage,
yeah.
you come to see the
yeah.
show. Sammy Davis Jr. used to come quite a bit. He'd bring champagne.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, and for everybody in the cast and everything on New Year's Eve. And it was amazing. And the costumes are still
right.
so beautiful. And one of the sad things is, way back when we weren't really allowed to take pictures
uh-huh,
in the
right,
costumes.
Of course.
And there was no video, there was no pictures during the show.
Yeah.
So I think I've got a couple. I think some of the boy singers, which they during one of the shows, they took turns going up in the light booth
yeah.
and taking pictures. So I've got a couple of me on stage, you know, but we weren't allowed to do anything like that.
Yeah,
they took
turns
when they weren't on stage going up and taking
gotcha.
These illegal pictures, you know,
right.
of the singers and the show and everything. But now I look at, like on Facebook, of all the newer
sure.
people, and they've got these beautiful pictures in their costumes, and we've got nothing. I've got, you know, just some backstage in the dressing room and, you know,
but
a lot
those
of topless
are, those
ones
are candid
too.
Oh, there you go. But those are candid moments when you have...
That was when Liberace
yeah.
came and Bree Burgess, oh, that's me right. over there. Right there.
On the
that's
end.
Me. And Bree Burgess actually...
she was the lead of the show at the time?
She was one of the singers.
Because
okay. back then we had a female singer line and we had principals.
Okay, right.
So we understudied the principals, principal line.
Okay.
But she had bedazzled this Jubilee sweatshirt for
oh,
Liberace.
How fantastic.
We presented it to him. So.
And those are the kind of things I think when you put together. I mean, obviously, we also have the. I don't know if you've ever been to the Neon Graveyard.
I haven't. Actually, I wanted
yeah.
to see that.
Those are the kind of things that we pay homage to. And, and a show closing like this, which had such lasting power.
Yeah.
Not only being the longest running show, but also the showgirl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it gave birth to the Follies after that. And you also had.
Yes.
We talked about Fire and Ice. We talked about Lido di Paris. There were so many shows back then.
Mm-hmm. But nothing as big as
no.
Jubilee.
And
because when we
yeah.
were in the show, when I was in the show back when it started, I think we had 100, 120 people
yeah.
in the cast.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's down to, it was down to 65 or something.
Yeah. Because you still have that consummate moment at the end of the show where everyone comes down
yeah.
the staircase and they just keep coming.
Yes. But that's what I noticed when I had seen the show again was that there's not as many people. And they didn't seem as tall. Because I remember, I'm 5'10". And I remember feeling short when I came in the show because there were girls who were taller than me, you know, so.
So how was, I want to ask you about your audition process for that. Because
mm-hmm.
the interesting comment that we were discussing last week was, you know, how nerve-wracking the audition process was with Don Arden. With Fluff, whoever was in the room, and
yes.
you came in to have
they were
your,
all there.
Yeah.
It was in the theater,
yeah.
and you line up, and you sing. The thing is, I think I was so young, I didn't really realize what I was doing.
Okay,
I came into town with friends.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I auditioned twice.
Okay,
I came in, and I was way thinner back then. But I came in, and Don Arden said he loved my voice. Come back in 6 months when I'd lost some weight, and I was already
Ouch.
Not fat, but. For Jubilee standards, you know.
Ouch.
So I went away and came back with another friend who actually ended up being in the show for like 10, 12 years. And we came back for the weekend. We auditioned. I was called back for the next day. I had to go buy a bikini.
Uh-huh.
So I had to stand up on stage in a bikini, even though I was
uh-huh.
a singer.
Uh-huh.
And I made the show and he didn't. So it was
Ooh.
A very awkward drive back to Los Angeles. But he is a very good friend of mine, and he actually came back, I think, the next year and
okay.
got in the show and was there for many years.
Yes.
Many years.
And how long was your run with Jubilee?
I was only there for 2 years.
Okay.
I got married.
Good.
I met my husband.
Okay.
So I got married and left and went on to do much different things. So.
So Kelly, as you can hear by the accent, is originally from Australia.
Long time ago, yes.
A long time. So when did you come to the States?
I came with my family when I was a teenager.
Okay.
And because my parents and my family were all in the business.
Okay.
So my grandparents were in vaudeville.
Okay.
And my father is
wow.
English, and he started off as a clapper boy.
What
know,
is that?
The clapper boy.
You
know, where you go, take four.
Uh-huh. Oh,
the thing.
Gotcha.
That's
oh,
what
okay.
it's called, a clapper boy.
Oh,
slate boy. Yeah, clapper,
there you go.
But clapper boy.
Yeah, yeah.
So he started when he was 14.
Okay.
Doing that. My grandparents got married on stage in England and got 25 pounds more. Played
oh
the Palladium
gosh.
And all those places. So they moved back. They moved to Australia, and
okay.
that's how he met my mother. My mother was a television personality and singer.
Okay.
So she sang on the very first night of Australian television, actually. So that's how then we moved, you know, mm-hmm. we moved around everything, but came to the States.
Did you go directly to LA or?
We actually lived in Spain for a couple of years because my dad was, because they did the Western cowboy, Westerns there and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
But ended up coming to LA.
Okay.
Yeah. So for work.
Right. Because that was obviously, well, that is so fascinating.
Yes. So that's how I came there. And then I came to Vegas.
So your family was in show business. So they encouraged you or discouraged you from
My father hated actors.
Gotcha.
He was married to one, but just working with them, he just, it wasn't something they ever encouraged me.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just something I really didn't do too much until I was about 17. And I auditioned for Oliver and got the part of Nancy. So.
And that was in California?
Yes, in Los Angeles.
Wow. So they sort of wanted you to go in other areas, and this was what you blossomed at for yourself.
Yeah, just what I decided. This is what I want to do.
And you've been in this business ever since. This has been your primary thing.
Pretty. I've done other. I was waited on tables. You know, like in Los Angeles, you do that when you're, you know, trying to do shows.
But you were part of that craft, and that's one of the things I really, you know, when I honed in a few of the people, the reason we started doing the show was to find out, you know, how you guys got in the business. Mm-hmm. Did you stay in it? Were you groomed to be in it? Were, you know, all of those things, but also did
it's
you have
blood.
The staying power? Exactly. But you had the staying power to follow after your passions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the interesting things when we were talking to Tina last week too about, you know, her audition and the gamble you play in that, in this business to do, especially when you're going out in front of what you said, you didn't even really know what you were doing and why you were even there. And you took that gamble and you did it.
And I moved to Vegas by myself. I didn't know anybody.
Oh my gosh.
So
what did you think about landing here and the idea of the show and the idea of shows in Vegas at the time? What did you feel?
I don't think, I mean, coming from Australia and then Los Angeles a little bit, I didn't really think, I just saw the audition and a bunch of us came the first time to audition and then I made it and it was like, wow. And my parents had moved actually back to Spain.
Okay.
And they flew in for the opening night. My grandmother flew in from Australia.
Oh my gosh.
It was a big deal, you know, to them. So it was amazing. It was, I wish I had appreciated more when I was doing it.
Right.
You know what I mean? You look back and it was, because I mean, after we did two shows a night, three shows on Saturday.
Oh my gosh. Nights,
so, yeah, that's what we did. Three shows on Saturday. So I think it kind of came after a while, just routine. Uh-huh. I mean, I remember reading Stephen King books off stage. You know, like in the wings and then handing to my dresser, running on stage, doing Gershwin, coming back off, running downstairs, changing, you know, and you just did it, you know.
You guys had a lot of stairs. I heard this too in the showroom back there. You had probably
thousands of steps. You have no idea how far down it goes.
Yeah.
You know, and we did have changing rooms off stage, so we did do some quick changes there or off, you know. But down.
But your workout was made doing the.
Yeah, I remember walking up the stairs. One night I was in the Judy Garland outfit, which was a little black coat and tights because we had Judy Garland in the show and I used to understudy that.
Yeah.
I remember walking up the stairs and Fluff was behind me and she goes, "Your butt's looking good, Kelly," or "Your bottom's looking good," whatever she said. I'm like, thank you.
No sexual harassment back then.
No.
That's okay. Exactly. Nice. No, but you've definitely had your workout when you've gone up and down the stairs.
Yes.
So after Jubilee, take me on a little journey of Kelly, where you ended up after Jubilee.
Oh, gosh.
And why did you leave Jubilee? Why did
you go? I got married.
Okay.
I got married and came to California for a little while. Okay. And then my husband was in the Marine Corps.
Okay.
So we went to Japan, but I had a band. I worked all the time.
Okay.
For 3 years there. Had my son. Came back to the States. Kept working with bands mostly.
Right.
And so I worked in Disneyland. I was Miss Lily at Disneyland, actually.
And how was that being a character in Disney?
The Golden Horseshoe, yes.
Nice.
Which is not there anymore. So, but yeah, that was a lot of fun too. Just different things like that. A lot of band work. And then back to Japan, had another band, a blues rock band, had a classic rock band before that.
Wow.
And then, yeah. So I've always found something.
So here
somewhere.
we have. Well,
there's
this is your
the many
website.
Faces of moi.
Yes, there you are. And I'm told you also had, you have a jazz. Did you have a jazz band in there too?
I had a jazz band. Yeah, actually a swing band here.
Okay.
After we moved back, which I'm just now getting back together. My trumpet players just put, I've got a 13-piece band with 6-7 horns.
Nice.
We just started yesterday rehearsing.
So I saw you, fast forward, I saw you out at Spring Mountain Ranch. Mm-hmm. That was the first time I saw you.
Okay.
And you played the Drowsy Chaperone in the title of The Drowsy Chaperone. How was that? To go out there and do what you did out there. There's Eiler.
There's Eiler. I love Eiler.
Adolfo.
Yes. Oh my, he was hysterical. The rehearsals for that.
Yeah.
With staging different were hysterical.
This was almost the surprise hit of that year at Super Summer Theater.
That's
because
when
a lot of people
Eiler.
Didn't know
yep.
the show.
Mm-hmm.
And we went out there just to see Eiler.
And I think we went back like the three nights
really?
In that show. That show was absolutely one of the best shows they've ever
so
done
well
out there.
Done. I know.
Staging, the
That's
cast
something
was
I would
amazing.
Love to do again. Yeah. yeah it's a yeah. show I would love to do again. And I've worked a lot with Eiler.
Yes.
We did Company too.
Yeah.
Also.
So you have a Sondheim voice
that's,
as well.
That's our our pose. And every time we get together now, whenever we do a show, I make us take that picture. I have an album of us in that pose. Mm-hmm.
So when, poor when Eiler. I know. When Eiler actually came to work for House Seats, mm-hmm. you know, he went through a very long vetting process. There's only like five people that work at House Seats, so it's really small. Mm-hmm. And so I remember, you know, when he came to the restaurant to talk to me. Mm-hmm. And he walked in. And I said, you know, I said, a number of people asked me to come talk to you. I've all paths led me to House Seats. And I said, well, you know, and when he started talking about his life in the acting world, I said, what have you done? And he said he was in The Drowsy Chaperone. I said, oh, we saw that show. Who did you play? And he instantly got into character. And the people we
I
got,
am no fool.
Exactly. I am no scoundrel. We got him on the phone with the people that we had gone to the show with, because they loved that character so much. I made him tell people on the phone, this is Adolfo.
Oh,
and he started doing
so
the
funny.
Whole character. So obviously, you know, he got hired for that reason.
Yeah.
But he, you know, he's been an amazing talent to have mm-hmm. around. And so, yeah, so he was in Company.
Yep.
And you guys did Sondheim
Company.
Together.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. That was another great show. Another show I'd love to do.
So we, you know, as you know, Andrew Wright, sharing the same last name mm-hmm. as you have.
But we're not related.
But you're not related.
I'll tell you why too in a minute.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say Wright was my grandparents' stage name.
Okay. Oh,
so that wasn't even their real name. And it's just something I kept as my maiden name. So there you go.
Well, there you go.
There's
no way you're related
yes.
to him. Well, we started the Setlist series, which mm-hmm. we did starting last year.
Yes.
We have a number of shows coming up this year that mm-hmm. we're doing. And he started Side by Side, which is where we ran into each other at the New York last mm-hmm. Last month when, yep. or this month. We're in February.
Last week. It was
last
like
week.
A couple weeks ago. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It was last week.
Yes.
You see how time goes by.
I know.
And we had done the Rat Pack series.
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing a Sondheim series, and then we're doing an Adele series, and mm-hmm. we're doing a few other things down the road. So I definitely know we need to be working together more regularly
yes,
here. Because
that would be fun.
As I was reading about you, and I'm going to give you some fun facts about Kelly.
Do I know what this is?
Well, it's a little game. You can say yay or nay if you did this show or not. First show was Vampire Lesbians of Sodom. Was that a show
that
or not a show?
Am I answering this question?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Was that a name of a show you were in?
Yes.
Okay, good. Yay! Woo-hoo-hoo! Can you tell me about that a little bit? I'm fascinated
it's
by
Charles
the show title.
Bush. You've never heard of
I
it
have
or
not.
Seen it?
No, have not.
Oh, my gosh. Well, yeah. It's about a vampire. I was the succubus
okay.
vampire.
The succubus?
The succubus.
Okay.
That goes way back, thousands of years.
Okay.
And... You know Glenn Heath?
Yes.
Glenn Heath
yes,
played the virgin
okay.
who was sacrificed to me.
Uh-huh.
And then it's about their life and their relationship through time.
Gotcha.
So it's from way back then. Okay. I turn him into a vampire.
Okay.
Then we meet up over the years. We meet back up in the 80s.
Okay.
I think it's in the 20s.
Yes.
In the 20s.
Yes.
And he is now, she's in drag, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. obviously. And... we're both competing as far as the silent films and in our careers and mm-hmm. everything. And we hate each other because now she's kind of taken over and everything. And then we meet up again in the 80s.
Okay.
And I have fallen now upon hard times, but I can't remember the name. What is it? Madeline something is a big star in Vegas, mm-hmm, you know, with mm-hmm. And then it all comes together at the end.
No, I love it.
And we had vampire teeth the entire time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The hard times of being a lesbian.
That,
see, I want to see that.
Oh.
We'll have you on again. I'm sure we'll have this moment
may
again.
May I have a drink?
You may. So we're drinking our Venezuelan rum again today here. Would you like some
Cheers.
Out there? Yeah, we'll share some after the show. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's out there. We have Jesse and
know.
Lisa, and
I
they
know.
Have a show, Conversations with Jess and Lisa Listens. And they are the reason that we have a show here
really?
Today.
Does Lisa talk at all?
Lisa.
Okay.
Lisa's a mute.
Cheers.
A very animated mute to you guys and to you.
Mm. Mm. Thank you.
This is.
It's not 5 o'clock. Is it 5 o'clock?
It's 5 o'clock.
I think
honey,
it is.
It's 5 o'clock in New York.
Somewhere.
I think, so we're good.
We're okay. Exactly.
In Vegas.
24 hours.
We start early. Takes a minute when I have some. I know. I'm like, so yeah. So Scott, our director producer over there, he brought this rum.
Thank you, Scott.
It was his birthday yesterday.
Oh, happy birthday!
Uh huh. He went to Carbone yesterday, Aria. If you haven't been there yet, you have to go. They have a rum cart tasting that comes around at the end of, if you make it to that moment.
So he has the ability to put the camera on him, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Look at that.
Oh, yeah.
He's got all the power. Look at Aria. Hello.
I know. He's crazy. But we love him. But yeah, so they're the reason that we started the show.
Okay.
So I'm happy that you're here. Uh-huh.
They're happy that you're happy.
They are happy. They've been House Seats members a long time too.
So
actually,
have I.
Yeah, you know that. You have.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
This makes me so happy when I hear this about everyone who's a member and has been a member a long time. So, one of the other shows I want to talk to you about that you were in or show, you sang with Barbara Streisand.
I did.
Let me hear about this because I want to hear where we might have a connection in life.
What do you mean? Well, Michelle Johnson with her Desert Angels choir.
Okay. Uh huh.
Asked a lot of us to be in this choir,
uh-huh.
and we had to keep it totally quiet until the day of, until we were there.
Yes.
You know, it was just the most amazing
and
thing.
What concert was that?
What do you mean?
Which one was it that you were in with Barbara?
A couple of years ago.
The one at the MGM Grand?
Yes.
So,
were you there?
Did
you see me? Do you remember
me? There, and Lisa was there, actually. Lisa was there. We were there in a seat filler capacity for the show, which I will tell you that was probably one of the best Barbara Streisand shows I've ever seen. Because she was very relaxed.
Well, we only saw the first half because we were backstage the second half.
So, we have a mutual... I guess coincidence in this.
Uh-huh.
So I sang with her in 2000.
Really?
At the arena for her Millennium concert.
Uh-huh.
And we only sang on stage for one song and we were piped in from one of the rooms and for the rest of the term.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay.
So
Was that
at MGM Grand.
Okay.
It was her 2000 or Millennial concert at MGM Grand. So, you know, we had done, I think we had done People and we did On a Clear Day back in a hidden room. And then we were brought on stage for one number. And so I thought maybe this was the same show that we might have been on stage together.
No, we came in at the very end.
Gotcha.
And, what was the song? As Your Garden Grows or something.
Uh-huh. Make Your Garden Grow.
It was just, oh my God, is there anything more exciting than standing there and Barbara Streisand's right there and there's how many thousands of people applauding for her.
But you were still part of that moment.
It was amazing.
I think one of the most interesting moments that we ever shared was... So we had rehearsals with the late Marvin Hamlisch. Mm-hmm. He ran our rehearsals, and there was a night when she was there, and we were backstage in one of the side rooms in the Grand Garden, and she started humming. Why are you playing that over there? Oh my God! Don't start crying. She was in there, and we were singing People, I think, and she started humming, and we all just sort of stopped singing because, here's Barbara Streisand humming, and a hum to that is, worth so much. And so we all just stopped singing just to hear her hum.
Yeah. When we got there, we were back in the room that we were being held in right by near the stage, but kind of towards the back. And I remember she was doing the sound check. It was like,
yeah, you just want to watch. That's consummate professional. Even after, they released one night, they released the orchestra because they were over time. She just played it on a boombox.
Mm-hmm.
She just pressed play on a boombox to keep going.
Yeah.
But what an amazing experience to be able to do that.
Oh, I know.
And to be on stage with her.
It was incredible.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh. Now, you also were in a show.
Yes, yes.
About Ethel Merman.
Yes, The Book of Merman.
The Book of Merman. Yes.
Isn't that clever?
Nice play.
That was Bill Fain. Mm-hmm. Bill Fain, actually, I first met when I did Drowsy Chaperone.
Yeah.
And he came up to me with this idea. He goes, I've got this idea of a show about Ethel Merman, and
that
actually is not from that. That was actually from Icons of Stage and Screen we did, where I had to wear the wig and everything,
Wonderful.
But what we do when we do The Book of Merman is more of just a tribute to her.
Right.
And singing her songs and doing that. And that I do with Jimmy Emerson in drag as Ethel.
Oh my gosh. Jimmy Emerson is one of the funniest people in Vegas.
I met him years ago. I auditioned for a show. We did a show called Showstoppers.
Uh-huh.
Way
before
this Showstoppers.
Way before the one at the
Win. Way before this one.
Uh-huh.
A couple of them actually. We did Showstoppers and Showstoppers 2. T-O-O.
Uh-huh.
Is that it? So that was fun. That was all Broadway stuff. But yeah, so Jimmy, it's a long story, but I ended up bringing Jimmy in because somebody else couldn't do it. And it's like, what about doing a drag, which was his dream,
He's one of those consummate Vegas performers as well, who has been here
since the 80s. Yeah.
Yeah. And we
I did Bottoms
him.
Up with him too.
You did?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
With Breck Wall, but Breck was supposed to be in the show, but it was right when he was getting sick.
Yes.
So Rip Taylor was actually the host. We did that up in Spokane, Washington.
You see the things that happen in this town that you don't even know. when you're not even aware about how many shows have sort of had the same lasting power and the same example of what Jubilee. That's the thing. You've been in that show and that had so much spinoff for you and spinoff for other shows here in town that's one of the reasons when we were talking to Tina.
It's funny coming back because I'd been gone for so long, but coming back, I started meeting people and realized that they were attached to this show that I had done years ago, you know, that they were here, but didn't know them then, but it's amazing.
Yeah. Well, we've had such a good time. I'm going to close out giving a couple shout outs. We are done.
No,
I'm going to give a couple shout outs out here.
Okay.
We're going to give a shout out to Hillary Clinton, who just won the Nevada caucus. So I was there caucusing. I've never caucused before. Have you all caucused? I've never done this before. Fascinating. First of all, we were in a room with a very spirited crowd. Mm-hmm. I'm in the downtown, you know, precincts or whatever you want to call it. So, you know, we were all down at the East Las Vegas Community Center. And I think we were divided among like 8 precincts. My family's very political. I'm not really, you know, so I didn't really understand the process. So I get there and we're the largest precinct of this group. It's all the downtown high-rise dwellers and they're very spirited people. I'm going to tell you that. And so we get into our room and they break you up onto sides and who you're going to be caucusing for. Mm. And so our side, I kind of described as the New York Times reader, laid back, just kind of like chill. Older group of voters, and the other side was the very spirited young Bernie Sanders group, which was great. But the process was fascinating. I don't know if they do this in Australia in any way to, you know, no. Have you ever caucused for anything?
No.
No, I haven't done this either. So we're in the room and they have, you know, basically 4 people at the front who are undecided. So they've come in and you're basically having to sort of almost like a jury, you know, having to persuade those 4 people to come onto your side.
Mm-hmm.
So they have people go up on stage and kind of give arguments as to why which person should win. And it was quite a fascinating process to watch.
I heard it was very unorganized, a lot of them, right?
Well, you know, I don't know. I've never been. I mean, I think politics could be all unorganized from my opinion. But I think when you're there, you know, people were definitely... You know, we were very respectful of both sides of everything, but it was just, you know, I think they just wanted to keep talking and keep talking. And so these people, they kind of call the caucus and then people go to your side. And so we got 3 of those people over to the Hillary side.
Mm.
We brought 3 of them over to the Hillary side.
That's funny.
It was quite funny. And so she obviously took the state and we applaud her. We applaud Hillary for that. We've come together. And then, oh, thank you. Oh, thanks, Hillary. And then I wanted to give other shout out to Celine Dion, who returns to her show tomorrow. And she comes back to the show and we applaud you for coming back to the stage. So here's to you. Here's to you, Kelly. Thank you for being
Cheers.
On House Seats Presents. We will see
you
again.
I would
and
love
thank
to.
You for coming, you guys. Love all of you. Till next time.